The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast. Joshua Adamlam Arbuthnot with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How goes it?
Joel, it is going not too bad. We are very close to the fast lane to WrestleMania and then on the road to WrestleMania. And as always, we had a really nice car ride last week. You know, the windows were down. We could go in a Corvette, and it was delightful. It was a great time. We're like, all right, it's not so bad to go. And then we either took a wrong turn or a storm hit, and the car is, like, flipping over, like you see at the start of the Mick Foley video.
Yeah, it's a little rough.
So let's start with the sad news. The very unfortunate news is, unfortunately, another member of our wrestling family has passed away. King Kong Bundy passed away. Obviously, he's a big part of a lot of people's wrestling life. For you and I mean, I'm obviously decently older than Joel, but even for me, he's a little bit before my time.
Yeah, you're an old man.
I am. I obviously have brief memories of that WrestleMania 2 match. I mean, that picture, I think, is one of the more famous things I remember him for, of him versus Hogan in the blue cage. And he had probably one of the biggest switches ever from going from that match with Hogan to the match with the Little People. Was probably the biggest shift ever for main event down to that match. I can't say. I know he faced The Undertaker as well. He was in, I remember him in an ESPN ad as well. And I know he had a thing where he did the five count as well. But I can't say, you know, in my time of tape trading and stuff, I came across King Kong Bundy, but I don't have a lot of memories, but it's always someone that you knew had a big act in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You hear stories of people watching Bundy getting slammed and stories along those lines. And just, you that's one of the more iconic things for Hogan. Obviously, the most iconic thing is the Andre the Giant moment. But slamming Bundy is still a big deal for the history of Hogan. And it's that build of Hulkamania. King Kong Bundy played a role in that. No matter how big or small that was. And King Kong Bundy was one of those guys that were instantly recognizable. From the bald head to just his demeanor and ring. He was a guy that you would recognize and be like, oh, I know who that is.
Yeah, like he was just kind of, I think too, like a lot of people would know him from video games. He also, he just kind of got into a lot of movies as well. He was in an episode of Married with Children that I remember.
And wasn't the kids' names based off Bundy?
I think so, yeah. He was also, I really remember him too. He was in an episode of Boy Meets World also. They actually had quite a few wrestling. They had the late, great, now Leon White Vader in there at one point, but they also had King Kong Bundy in there at one point as well. And then he was also part of a lawsuit against WWE.
See, and that's why he didn't go in the Hall of Fame. I think that's one of the things that a lot of people will look at, because he's not a Hall of Famer, correct?
No, and the case was dismissed last December, September, by the way.
So it's one of those, like, we've seen it. Vince did business with Warrior again. So he's willing to do business, but you got to be willing to do business with him. Yeah. And that concussion thing really, really kind of kept certain people away from the company, and it sucks, but this is Vince McMahon, and if you're going to sue him, he's going to take it personally.
He never won a major award in the company. He won one Slammy that was a tie with Gorilla. As far as PWI, his highest ranking ever was actually in 2003 as a singles wrestler, believe it or not. So he's kind of some POC level right there. Was 124 and a 95 when he came back, and he had a stable with DiBiase. He was 147. He was an AWA Superstar Heavyweight Champion, Georgia Championship Wrestling. He was a tag team with the Masked Superstar. And then in World Class Wrestling, he was the NWA Heavyweight Champion.
See,
American, NWA American Heavyweight Champion, not like the big gold belt.
See, and that's the thing. That's the one thing with Bundy is you look at the history beyond just WWE, and you just look at what this is a name that is known and recognized. It's not a name that, like, there were people, I saw him on the news repeatedly, they were showing the clip of him and Hogan. So this is a guy that was well known. He may not have
won. Oh, sorry, go ahead, man.
He may not have won any titles, but he definitely played a role in wrestling history.
Well, he had, in a way, a pretty short wrestling career, really. Like, he was on the independents from 81 to, well, I guess, the territory situation, and wrestle with with Fritz von Erich and them, and that was in World Class, which is a pretty big territory, especially in the 80s. But he wrestled there from 81 to 85, and then he was in the WWF from 85 to 88, which I think would be his most known run.
Yeah,
obviously the Hogan thing. Then he retired from 88 to 90 to 94, and then he went back to the WWF from 94 to 95, and then he went on the independent circuit from 95 to 07. But it's weird. In that 95 to 07 period, he never has anything to do really with the Monday Night Wars. He's never on WCW. He's never in ECW. He never shows up on Impact, Ring of Honor. It's pretty crazy because, you know, all those legends eventually ended up kind of on one of those shows at some point. We know Steamboat did some stuff with Ring of Honor, for example. Anvil showed up for like a cup of coffee with Impact. Backlund ended up with Impact for a cup of coffee. It's weird that he never ended up with any of those companies.
He seemed to be. I'd be curious on the reason behind it, but he obviously had a reason why he never went.
Yeah. So I mean, you almost would have thought that he maybe would have been one of the guys that the Jarretts would have gone to help Impact. Be like, well, he's a name, right? Because there was that point there where Impact was getting everyone. I mean, just before he passed, about 2 years before he passed, Randy Savage was in Impact as well, right? DDP was there in Impact too. So you think they'd get someone from the past. I'm even surprised that Bischoff, and I'm sure Meltzer, the latest issue of The Observer, will have a lot on this because one of those guys, he also had one of the more famous LGN figurines too, Bundy did.
Yeah.
You always hear Ryder talk about that one, and I think he was like one of the ones that had one of the unfinished figures. But he's one of those guys that you always kind of knew the name King Kong Bundy, and it was such a kind of a cliche wrestler model with the singlet and the bald head and just the big guy. But it's just weird. I always, as a wrestling fan, was like, why was he not bigger? Why was he not in the Monday Night Wars? Why was he not in Impact? It's very interesting. And then, obviously, like I said, too, like, decent acting career. And then he went on to do some stand-up comedy as well.
Yeah. It's always interesting because you'll see old-time wrestling fans recognize Bundy right away. And, oh, I remember Bundy. And it's always entertaining to kind of see that and be like, oh, it's kind of neat that this person had such an impact that 20, 30 years down the line, you still remember them.
Yeah, and for someone that, I mean, to us, you kind of look at that right there. It's like, obviously, he made an impact in the 80s with the Von Erichs and then with the WWF, but really don't have a lot of memories, but it kind of just goes to also show you how impactful Hulkamania was, right? And he is like that first big singles match at WrestleMania for Hogan, and we always just like whenever I think of the Blue Cage, I always think of Hogan and Bundy, and then Bret and Owen as well.
Yeah,
those are the two things I think about. But no, it's really upsetting. it's a guy that, you know, maybe you would have liked to have seen reconnect to the WWF and get his due in the Hall of Fame. And we know what the Hall of Fame is, and we're going to talk about this year's Hall of Fame and what a shit show it is. But it would have been nice to have him there, hear the speech. And I mean, guy was an actor. He was a stand-up comedian. For all things I've heard, he was a decent guy and a good talker. So it would have been nice to have heard his stories and what he thinks.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, any last thoughts on Bundy at all, Joel?
No, I think that wraps it up for me.
So yeah, obviously it's an absolute bummer, and hopefully one day I guess he can get his due. Although, like, when you have the posthumous introductions, those just continue to add up, and it's unfortunate because there's guys like him and Vader that we would have just liked to have seen them talk.
Yeah.
Let's go and talk about another bummer of news, and that's Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah.
Not looking ideal for his match in NXT, but yeah, you tell what we're dealing with right now.
Well, nothing's been confirmed yet, but it's something to do with his neck, and the word spinal stenosis has been thrown out, and we all know some pretty famous wrestlers that have had that. From all indication, it sounds like he is going to work New York, but it's still, I think there'll be a clearer picture will come in the middle to end of March, where everything's all going, and we'll know who's going to compete in that title match. This is obviously a big deal because the way everything's kind of heading, you think that the main event for New York is Johnny and Ciampa. That the story will finally be wrapped up, and this will be the end of this almost a year and a half long feud. I hope he's well enough to compete, but I don't want him to compete and put his health in jeopardy.
And I mean, it's interesting now. It's a month today that he has kind of a block to get more healthy now as well. Obviously, you know, the spinal stenosis, we know Sheamus has had it, and he's been performing. It feels like that was announced for Sheamus like 2 years ago, he's still doing it. Yeah, that definitely helped him out. And we know some of the bigger neck injuries in the past, obviously, with Austin, Edge, and Benoit. And then there's the Kurt situation. Austin, Edge, and Benoit all had neck surgeries that took them out for about a year. And with Kurt... Well, we know what happened with Kurt. He took the short trip, and that put Kurt Angle to where he is today with, you know, we'll let him down with the pills and the alcohol, and he's kind of confirmed it. He took the short trip, and he was in consistent pain, whereas Austin, Edge, and Benoit took the long term, and it got them better in the ring going forward.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't solve the problem, but it extends the career. I mean, we don't fully know, and nothing's been confirmed, and you're not really going to know until the tapings, and then everything is done from there. It would be a darn shame if this storyline doesn't ever fully get wrapped up, but both of them have not appeared on the main roster in the last couple weeks. So
Johnny has also been absent, which is the weird part. Like, you would think that Johnny would have returned by now. On TV, but he's not on there, which I think makes the best sense because if he is supposed to win the title, why is he on the main event TV, right?
Yeah. And the other thing is, I like that they're introducing them as tag teams. I think that's really smart because it helps kind of hide some people's weaknesses and let you really kind of see the flurry of offense. Like, from the SmackDown show tonight, you really got to see the best of Black and Ricochet without them having to give too much to Sheamus and Cesaro and them getting the win. Obviously, they're in a title match, and we'll get to that later on in the show. But it's nice to see that they're blossoming, and I think that's why we haven't seen Johnny Gargano on main roster programming.
I would agree. They've kind of backed him away. Yeah, so there's the deal with Ciampa. It's weird because we haven't had really any updates, and I think there's another set of tapings next week, I believe.
The 13th, so...
Right, and then I mean, we'll find out if Kushida is going to be on this show or if he's simply going to be in the crowd. You would probably believe Kushida's not necessarily needed for this show, so he'll probably be in the crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see where they go, because it does seem like they're teasing Adam Cole with Dream and Riddle for the North American title. I don't know where they're going with Keith Lee and Dijak. They had a very good match in NXT. Perhaps they'll give them their own match. The women have their stuff. So I guess if either Johnny just wins the title on the next set of tapings, so I don't see, or they vacate it, then we'll see kind of where that goes from there. I would also suggest, too, if they were to vacate it for some reason, those tournament have a tournament at Access, because then that highlights Access a little bit for you.
Yeah.
And that can bring it up.
It's going to be very interesting what they do if this is a serious and a situation where you have to take action.
Yeah, and the NXT now is on the Friday, right?
Yep.
So NXT will be on the Friday, and then Japan going against a terrible Hall of Fame, which we'll get to in a little bit there. So that's the deal with Tommaso Ciampa. Hopefully he's okay, especially for you, Joel, going out to Mania. Obviously you want to get a chance to see that match and see the crowning achievement for Johnny. Speaking of crowning achievements, Samoa Joe finally won a title on the main roster. He finally won a big match.
It took a little bit, but he's finally done it.
So he beat R-Truth, Andrade, and Rey.
I thought for sure that there was no way that Truth was not going to retain. I thought,
yeah, because we had heard Cena rumors.
Yeah. Now I think we've got a name that maybe Cena can go against.
Well, yeah, we've been kind of, you know, because the one thing that's been kind of out there is that Cena and Kurt both have their singles matches, and we've been racking our brains like, could it be Joe? We don't know, because, you know, this Lars Sullivan thing completely fell apart, and who knows what his future is. But we've all wanted this Joe and Cena match for the longest time. But, I mean, Joe has had the worst luck with WrestleMania. He is a month away from getting to be at WrestleMania. And it's like, please don't get hurt, Joe.
Yes, just get to it. Get to have your WrestleMania moment. And if it is against Cena, and I was wondering, I was thinking that I wonder if Cena's limited in ring. I wonder if you just have Joe put the Kokita clutch on him and that's it. That's the match.
Very well could. They can use the UWF tapes, apparently.
Really?
Those are fair game for them to use. There's such a good storyline here for them to use. I mean, unfortunately, they can't talk to Kazarian or Daniels, who were also in UWF with them. But nonetheless, you can go to this UWF storyline, how they both started there, and where Joe's path was and where Cena's path was. This is a story I think it's safe to say that we have wanted since Joe came to the company. It was the number one feud we've all wanted with Joe since he's came to the company. And it's one of the main feuds that Cena has left that we never thought would happen, but just with the history, which Cena doesn't have a lot of wrestling history stories, this is a big one for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think this would be tremendous use for both men. And I think especially if Cena's limited, then you have Joe kill him. And then you just, that builds the legendary, the legend of Samoa Joe that much more.
Absolutely. So I think that really helps. And I think that will be a dynamite match to have at WrestleMania. It's everything you really want, right? Especially like you can build up off the past and everything that you have there. And yeah, I'm very excited for that. And I'm just happy for Joe that he actually won. This true thing was really nice, the fact that he gets rewarded with everything from the past. But It was about time that Joe finally won the big one.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely time.
What do we have next on the docket? Okay. Let's talk about Monday Night Raw. And yeah, it was so the good. The Batista Instagram promo. Fantastic.
Yeah. Doesn't want to waste his time in Pittsburgh and Philly.
No offense. Fantastic. Dave knows exactly what he's doing.
You know, Dave can't be a villain because he's a superhero, Josh.
Yeah, he's
Guardians of the Galaxy is real, man.
Yeah. Drax is the best part of those movies. Drax is the most recognizable character. Apparently, people that are wrestling marks don't have girlfriends that really like Groot. Or family members or moms that really like Groot. Because in the mainstream, I gotta say, people really, really like Groot.
Oh, Groot is amazing.
Yeah.
The fact that he turned to dust in Infinity War, and his last words were, "I am Groot." But what he was really saying was father to Rocket. So just, that's a little dagger in your heart. Well, we're gonna get resolved at the end of April, so.
So, Triple H comes out, and everyone that's listened to this over the last few years knows I've been a much more positive Triple H guy than Joel has, and Mo has. And I can't say I've ever heard Brett on the wrestling show, but I'm sure I'm in the minority on the We Talk family, on the side of Hunter, that I normally defend Hunter and his promos. And think, oh, you know, he's not bad. Holy crap, that promo was not a good promo on Monday. And I think just starting with the fact that he brought up Reed Flair, first of all, which the last time we saw that was Charlotte and Paige, and it was not a good use of it. And the next part was the splitting of reality and kayfabe and using the name Richard Flair.
Why do you excessively need to have a wrestling show that you need to remind us that it's scripted and not real? Like, you don't see characters on Game of Thrones winking at the camera going, "It's a movie or TV show, guys, wink, wink." Like, why do you complain?
Yeah, Lena Headey is going to be Cersei Lannister and be like, "I'm in a wrestling movie coming up as I play a wrestler's mom. So right now, I'm going to beat you like I'm Paige's mom." What? No, that wouldn't happen.
Just, you want to beat Batista up. You're upset. You're angry, and then you move on. You don't need to basically insinuate that it's Dave Batista versus Paul Levesque at WrestleMania.
I mean,
the match is already sold. You don't need to do anything more to sell it.
I don't hate the line of Flair was on death's doorstep, and this was a celebration that we didn't think we'd get. I'm fine with that. That's fine. I'm not saying, and I don't think you are either, you can't take some aspects of real life. We just stop with the Reed Flair stuff. That's stupid. Just stop it. I don't need to hear about a younger person that pretty much OD'd dying, and that's used for this Dave Batista and Hunter promo. That's unnecessary.
And the use of calling him Richard Flair, not Richard.
Yes.
Ric Flair. That.
Yeah, I don't need that. Like that, and that, because that's been used when Edge retires as Adam Copeland. Not that he said it for then, but if you want to see Adam Copeland, then sure. And that was used when Joe said, "My name is Joe, not Roman." Fine. No big deal. I get it. It's a real life moment. When you use it for this and you split it to the Richard Flair, which no one in the, what, Ric Flair's been around since, what, the 70s?
Yeah.
So 40 plus years, 50 plus years of Ric Flair, we've never heard on television the name Richard Flair before. Don't need to hear it. There's no sense of hearing it. Like, if you wanted to take from reality and you want, like, the line is sitting right there for Hunter. He could have just said, "If you think Thanos snapping you was a problem, just wait till I get my hands on you." It's right in front of him. It's the easiest line for everyone that would be like, "Oh, snap. What a great line."
Yeah, that's a weak line.
But it's a line that's sitting there that you can use. And it's an easy cliche line. Use that.
I'd go with, "We already drove you away once. Why did you come back?" Basically build off the storyline of the real life storyline of them not having any belief in Dave going to Hollywood and Hollywood and Dave killing it in Hollywood. That's the storyline you build off.
That's a real story because they thought Guardians of the Galaxy was going to be a joke.
Man, were they wrong. That's still a good movie.
Yeah. So they were running that. We'll see what happens with the face-to-face next week. I trust heel Batista and his skinny jeans.
Yep. Yep, and the glasses. But he better wear the blue glasses to Raw and the red glasses to SmackDown, because that...
Cool.
Just great little detail.
Yeah, I trust Dave on this. I don't know if Hunter came off as a heel during this, but he definitely came off as just annoying. And the Hunter that we want too, I'm fine with Hunter being a babyface, but be NXT Paul. Don't call yourself Paul Levesque, but just be NXT Hunter. That's all you have to do.
Shepherding the next generation, and you got this this older fellow coming back to reclaim his glory.
Like, the way that you could have gone about that promo realistically is, we almost lost Rick, and this was supposed to be a celebration of that, and you ruined it, and you spit on that. Someone that we rode down the roads together, just to get my attention. Well, you have my attention now. Easy, done. There's a way to do that promo.
The video package should feature clips from Evolution, them all together, and just togetherness. I can't speak today. The togetherness that all of them had, and just how Dave threw it all away because and it's been well known that he's really wanted that match with Hunter. He's wanted his last match to be Hunter. So you drive that home as well, as you've been wanting this match, and this was the only way to get Hunter's attention.
And I mean, will in this run, will he have a singles match on Raw against Titus O'Neil?
I don't think we'll probably see him wrestle on Raw or SmackDown. I think it's just going to be some
promo. He really wants that Titus match, though. It's the only way he's ever going to get it.
I don't think so. I don't think we're going to get it.
The Shield. You and I are like, yeah, the Shield was cool. There's obviously a groundswell that cares about a lot more.
Can I just say that Fastlane promo for it, where they say that this is the last time ever the Shield will be reforming. We've heard that about DX. We've mm-hmm. heard that about the NWO. We've probably heard it about dozens of tag teams.
We heard it about Cena and Rock.
Once in a lifetime, yeah. So don't worry too much. They will all be together again at some point. But, yeah, the Shield. Yay.
And I say in this match, the person that should get pinned is Corbin, but it probably will be McIntyre.
Let's be honest, you don't need to build anyone else up. You've got your guy back, so there's no need to protect some of these other guys anymore.
McIntyre's just, I don't know, well, I know what happened, but it's the classic, bring him all the way up, god damn it, take him down, and then we bring him up again. And they did that to McIntyre, and it's, yep, he's just in like anybody else.
Yep. Well, that's the WWE mantra. No one's special unless your name is Brock Lesnar.
Who would have thought Ziggler would have helped out McIntyre that much?
I know.
Holy shit. The Shield's back together. I mean, cool. Like, it's good to see, you know, Roman healthy and competing again. I'm very happy for that. It's a good thing to use Seth. We know that he's still having some trouble with his back, so it keeps him busy for a pay-per-view.
Yeah. You look at it. Seth's opponent is hunting in Saskatchewan right now, so let him mm-hmm. finish that off. Roman doesn't yet have an opponent at WrestleMania, though I think we may have heard some rumblings on who it could be. And Dean is basically the Schrodinger's wrestler of the WWE. He is both staying with WWE and leaving WWE at the same time. And until someone opens up the box, we don't have a clue.
Yeah, so it was reported like this weekend that Roman's the Dean Whisperer. Then on Monday it was like, well, Dean's staying. And then today it's like, Dean's not staying.
You know, this is like a really, 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 really lame summer of Punk. Like, it's...
Yep.
Is he leaving? Is he not leaving? I don't know if I care. I think I got excited for Dean leaving and going on to the independents and doing stuff on that. I thought that that would be great for him. And just able to reset everything, wash off the WWE staleness, and... just really make a go at it on the independents, and now it sounds like the Shield will be back together for many. Well, they won't. They'll be all around, all three of them.
Yeah. So that's. We'll get to the Fastlane card. Look, you know, it's funny. They have tried to do the Shield thing, but something has happened every single time, and it's mainly been on Roman getting injured or out with very serious life-threatening conditions. But they tried to do it with Roman that one time, and that's when the big flu outbreak happened.
Yep.
And then they tried to do it with Roman again this past year. Well, and that's when Roman had leukemia.
Dean got injured.
And then Dean got injured. It's like they can never catch a break on this. And for all we know, Seth is going to hurt his back again in this match. The Shield is almost cursed, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I'd be very leery on putting them back together.
But hey, they got in the middle of the ring and they fisted. So good job seeing them fist once more time.
It's always good when you get to see three men fist.
Yeah, they love to fist. Let's talk about...
Blue Chew next?
Great job. Great job. No, I mean, we would love to have the Fine People Blue Chew be on here one time, especially when it comes to talking about the Shield fisting. But let's talk about Becky Lynch and how we were really happy with the way this program was going. And then Rhonda, Stephanie and Rhonda, and I guess their new consultant in Dana Warrior. What the hell happened on Monday?
Well, just so everyone knows, and this is true, Rhonda has a speech impediment, had to go through speech therapy to get comfortable, because as she said, this is one of the keys to the job, is being in ring and being able to cut an in-ring promo.
She's also trying to be an actress.
See, and that's the other thing. So she's trying to do a lot of things. So yeah.
And two of her projects have been canceled. One that was a biopic and a remake of Roundhouse.
My thing with Rhonda.
Roadhouse.
My thing with Rhonda is you've got to protect her as much as possible, and she's been getting murdered by Becky on Twitter. Like, anytime you read Rhonda tweets, it's like, then you see Becky's tweet, and it's like, holy crap. It's just hit after hit after hit for Becky Lynch. And this whole vacate the title, I'm not vacating the title, I got what I wanted, I'm taking my title back. Stephanie being the center of all of this. The fact that Stephanie has to insert herself in every major woman's moment in WWE is just annoying. None of these moments involve her. She is not the reason these are happening. You could trace this women's revolution, the very infancy of it, back to the start of NXT with Emma and Paige, and you can trace it back to AJ Lee's tweet about give divas a chance. I feel like those are the two big moments that really propelled this forward. And it was reported that when AJ Lee tweeted it, Stephanie wanted to get back at AJ Lee, and Vince said, no, we're not doing anything like that. So the fact that Stephanie has inserted herself so much into this is just downright annoying. Rhonda, you gotta do the backstage interviews. Like, I just feel when Rhonda's out.
Well, the one time she did the backstage interview, though, it was the worst piece of shit that she's done.
Well, I mean, like the sit down interviews.
Oh, like Brock does.
Yeah. You sit her down. You gotta make Rhonda special, because Rhonda is special. This is a once in a generation type athlete that you have that has decently taken to wrestling, is a fan of wrestling. You have her do those backstage, and then when she comes out, she's just a destroyer. That's all she is. She goes out, she murders whatever woman she's facing, she goes back, You can have her cut her promos backstage in a controlled environment where you can do a couple of takes. And especially if she does have a speech impediment, and if she does, she still eventually build her up to cutting in-ring promos. But that's the goal. You got to build these guys up. You got to build them up to give to get the to do the Heyman way of covering up their weaknesses to amplify their strengths. Ronda's facial expression is great, and it's exactly what you want. And Monday was another example of, I felt like she got a little nervous, and she kind of rushed that promo, and I felt like the timing was off. Everything about that segment just didn't work. The way she beat down Becky was not the best. I mean, Ronda's now got her heat back, and she's made Becky look like a fool. So, well, not a fool, but an injured, vulnerable Becky Lynch. I don't know if that's the direction you want to go with Becky either, because Becky's been betrayed as such a badass that now her taking that extended beatdown, it almost feels a little like, this isn't right. This isn't what's supposed to be happening.
Well, and then they, you know, kind of hit in on that. They have the stuff on SmackDown, and I want to get back to the Ronda stuff, but they go on SmackDown, and then they have Ronda beat up Charlotte. And we already kind of figure that that Becky's going to beat Charlotte on Sunday. And then she's probably going to end up pinning Charlotte at Mania. So how do we want to take Charlotte Flair any serious matter after these next 2 months? Because she has never beat Becky. She doesn't get her heat back on Becky. Charlotte's kind of been made to look the worst in this. And it's like, so why is Charlotte in this again? Because, you know, all respect to Charlotte Flair, like, she's just made to look like an absolute dork in this.
Yeah, she's just kind of there to cut promos, and then basically it felt like she's just there to be there. They know she's a good, great worker in ring, so then I feel like that plays a factor in why she's there. I don't know where Charlotte will go after this, because, I mean, obviously, I guess the next thing will be the chase of going after Becky, but that usually that elongated chase is for a babyface, and Charlotte's much better as a heel, so I don't know where all this is going. I don't think they fully know where it's going week to week, so I guess some weeks are going to be good, and other weeks are going to be a little rough.
Yeah, it's... Maybe once we get, like, the thing is, too, like, there's been moments, right, where it's like, oh, this is working out really well. And there's other moments like, okay, what are we doing? And this was one of those weeks where it's like, none of this makes sense at all. Like, Becky won the Rumble, so why? Like, she was suspended, and the idea was, it doesn't matter if you win the Rumble, you're suspended enough time that you won't be able to cash in your opportunity. And now she's unsuspended, but she doesn't get to go right to WrestleMania.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. So you didn't strip her of her right to Mania. You suspended her. Now that you've unsuspended her, you didn't say that you took away the match. You said you suspended her.
Yeah, that's why this whole thing, I mean, has just been really confusing.
Yeah, that's why sometimes the best storylines are the simplest.
Yep. And right now, they're not even tonight with KO and Brian, which we won't have to get into too much, which is kind of a situation of they were trying so desperately to make KO a babyface tonight that it was almost embarrassing. It's like, this guy's just like you. He's a pig, and he's like all you people. It was like heel 101 stuff, and like the sway of the crowd 101 stuff, and it was like, this is just getting embarrassing.
I don't know if it was embarrassing. I just think that this was going to be I believe they switched the programs around.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying it was just so how blatant it was.
Well, that's...
Just, like, trying to switch the crowd over.
You got to try to build some heat, and sometimes going with Babyface 101 is better. Heel move 101 is better than no heel move at all. I think this is an example of why long-term booking is important, because... You could have built KO up more so that when this match did happen, then it's a little bit like, oh, okay, well, we've got this already kind of, the seeds already planted. We can build off this. This match is going in with a week, 2 weeks build. And that's, it's really hard to generate a lot of heat from just 2 weeks, unless it's a massive dream matchup.
Well, and then you bring Mustafa Ali back in this, which, don't get me wrong, I'm happy to see him healthy and everything, but it's like, why are we bringing Ali into this now? Sorry?
The crowd wanted Sammy.
Yeah, I should have been Sammy at that point when he said he had no friends, because it's like, well, at the very least, you know, they could have thrown them into the SmackDown take title situation, because we know KO's not winning on Sunday.
No.
So it's like, well, at the very least, could have done him and Sammy, and they do some tag team title stuff or whatever, because we haven't seen those guys as faces yet. We've seen them as heels, haven't seen them together as faces. I don't know. This is the problem with having such a big roster now, too, right? You're going to overbook yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what they're kind of doing with a lot of stuff. They're doing it with the women program right now, which I don't fully understand the booking of it. I mean, Rhonda continually is embarrassing herself by going on Twitter, trying to dish out with Becky. Even Charlotte embarrassed her today. So, because she was trying to sell some shirts that nobody wanted.
Yeah. Well, damn the man, screw the woo, and no more Mrs. Nice Bitch.
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, it's kind of that way right now for everything Rhonda. It's nothing's just really clicking at all.
No.
And I don't really know what the cure is. I thought her just getting a good beatdown would help, but that beatdown the other day was just so sloppy, it just didn't work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't really know what the answer is for Rhonda at this point. I mean, I have to assume she's going to interfere somehow on Sunday. But, yeah, I don't know, man. It's, I don't know. I'm actually just at a loss for words.
Yeah, I got nothing either. I got squat.
Okay, well, let's just, before we get to this Fastlane card, let's just talk about a few news and notes for the week. Let's start with Arn Anderson. So we had wondered why he was let go, and it turns out he let an intoxicated Alicia Fox wrestle.
Yeah, not good. I'm sure that if you look at history, there's probably been a dozen or so more guys that probably perform intoxicated. Steve Austin very well could have performed with a light buzz.
Oh, yes. But Alicia Fox is weird. Like, I'm surprised she is still with the company. She had that incident with Rhonda and her husband last year.
Yeah.
But she's kind of one of those characters and people that have been with the company for so long that there's also a little bit of clout with everything she's done. Apparently they're going to send her to rehab.
I think last thing I heard was she did not want to go to rehab.
Well, you know what happened the last time someone didn't want to go to rehab? I think that was Carlito, and he got fired.
Yeah.
And I also believe, sadly, one of those people that refused was also Umaga.
Yeah.
So I don't know how bad the situation has been with Alicia. This has been a recurring situation. I think this is somewhat similar to Fit Finley with The Miz a few years ago.
Yeah.
When the arm guard was out there or whatever, and they had to go disrespect the national anthem, and then Fit was back in the company in like a year. I'm assuming it's going to be something like that.
Well, I've heard rumors that Vince and Arn didn't get along. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. He had been there for some time, man. He had been there for a long-ass time. So that's... And I know the locker room was pretty upset about not having him, but you'd have to imagine AEW will pick him up in a second because he'd be a great backstage guy.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, just random news and notes from the week. Impact Wrestling. It's been very interesting. You know, you and I have kind of talked off air. Like, Impact's in a very weird position right now, right? They're on a very small cable network in the States, and they're doing a lot of stuff with Twitch, but they re-signed Moose, who I thought would maybe get some attention from possibly an NXT Possibly in MLW, maybe in ROH. I don't think AEW, but I thought maybe one of those. And then Madison Rayne asked for her release from ROH, not liking the direction there. I think it's pretty safe to say that the Woman of Honor has not got the way anyone thought it was going to go.
No.
I'm wondering if Tennille Dashwood will be the next one to be looking for a release.
Yeah, and I mean, it certainly sucks, but sometimes things don't work out the way you'd hoped.
So Madison Rayne goes back to Impact. Easy choice for her. Her husband works there, Josh Matthews. So that was an easy choice for her. And they also re-signed Rosemary. Interesting with all this is that Women of Wrestling, or Women of Wrestling Superstars, this is also called, has had this partnership with Jeannie Buss, who owns the LA Lakers. And they tomorrow have a huge announcement. Now, they've had some TV airings on Access TV, which is the same channel you can see New Japan stuff for. But there is a rumor with Jeannie Buss, who owns the Lakers, possibly Magic Johnson, that there could be a bigger TV deal announced tomorrow for them, or possibly a pay-per-view, which would be huge, and it would add another competitor to the mix for WWE, for AEW, for everybody. And like I said, it looks like the Women of Honor is kind of falling apart, what they were trying to do there. We know that, I think it has Sonita Garrett there. It has Tessa Blanchard there, just as names that people are familiar with. And we've seen women wrestling do pretty good. It's some of the best stuff WWE puts on. I mean, it's going to be in the main event right now. It's closed the last two. It's closed SmackDown and Raw this week. Evolution was one of the better selling pay-per-views for them last year. Total Divas doesn't do the best numbers it does anymore, but it still gets them their attraction. My point is, women wrestling is the thing that sells. We saw the Paige movie. You see GLOW. I'm interested to see where this can all go, Joel.
Yeah, I'm absolutely fascinated to see where this can all go.
I think it's kind of one of those situations where you look at the WWE, and it's kind of like what they're doing with the Tokyo Dome show in January 2020, where they're going to have the two shows for Wrestle Kingdom, and you know WWE is going to be looking at those shows very carefully of how they pull off the two Wrestle Kingdom shows and how they do it for their biggest show of the year. Likewise, I think WWE is going to watch WOW if this is a situation and be like, this could be something that we may be interested in doing if we decide with the rosters continuing to grow, if maybe we split off and have a woman brand.
Yeah.
So we'll have to keep an eye on that. But I think it's all very interesting. Having someone like Tessa is a nice addition. We've seen that Tessa has the ability to be someone that can be a leading woman for you. And yeah. She's done a good job at Impact right now. And it's interesting, too. We're seeing some more of these sport owners now. We know Mark Cuban has a little bit with New Japan. We obviously know the Khan family, mainly Tony Khan with AEW, and now Jeannie Buss owning the Lakers, what she's done there. If Magic does come in, it'll be interesting because you know, he's had some business. He's been very good as an entrepreneur and running businesses. So interested to see what it is. My guess is they have the stuff in Access, so maybe they're going to stay in Access. My guess would be a bigger pay-per-view possibly.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's very interesting. Bruce Pritchard and Dana Warrior.
They don't have that big of a role, so that's positive at least.
So, yeah, Bruce Pritchard and Dana Warrior are mainly just consultants. I'm fine with Bruce Pritchard being on there. The difference is that Dana Warrior isn't officially hired to be on the writing team. She's just there to give her thought and process from the female perspective. Pritchard, on the other hand, is not technically on the writing team, but could be. And you don't really listen to the Something to Wrestle podcast, Joel. I don't blame you. They're freaking long. You kind of got the upset, number one, just by voice tones, that Conrad did seem a little bit upset. And just some of the sense of wording that he had to Pritchard at times seemed like Pritchard could be gone soon. Major line that comes to mind in that is the just do the Vince voice, goddammit. We don't know how many more times we're going to be able to do this. Yeah. And the last thing is we do know Bruce is finishing off all his live appearances, though, including the one after Raw, the night after WrestleMania with Jim Ross.
Yeah, I'm interested. Pritchard is not a bad name to pick up. I'm just going to skip over talking about the other name they picked up.
I don't want to talk about it either. News, she's with the company. It's interesting with the Pritchard thing is, so he will be at Raw that night, and they're going to start that live show with JR and Conrad, and then Bruce will catch up afterwards.
I come first, pal.
Yeah, so that's interesting where they're going to go. I like the addition of Pritchard. I think at times he can have good ideas. At times he's a yes man to Vince, despite what he says he's not. But he's in a point where he's the most popular he's ever been. So maybe that'll help him give range to Vince. And if he is someone that Vince does listen to, maybe he can give more of a perspective of what the fans want to Vince, and maybe Vince will listen to him. Doubtful, but maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Should we talk about this Hall of Fame class?
It's like ripping off a Band-Aid. Let's just rip this thing off. I'm glad I'm not going to it.
Yeah. If you bought tickets for the Hall of Fame over Japan, I don't know if you're a real wrestling fan. Unless you really like DX.
But they're not the headliners anymore, Josh.
So we have Honky Tonk Man. That's
not the headliner.
I know. We'll get to Honky Tonk Man, who has said like he never wanted to do it. He said it's a bullshit Hall of Fame and all that stuff. So he's doing it. Someone that has consistently said he didn't want to do it unless he was desperate for a payday. Guess Wayne Knight is desperate for a payday. and then the other one is Tori Wilson.
Headliner.
Who was inducted this week. Look, I think Tori is fantastic as a teenager. I really liked watching her. I think she seems like a lovely person. She's done a good job with her fitness stuff. I think the mainstream public would probably know her more from dating A-Rod.
Was she the one that dated A-Rod? I thought it was...
She was the one that dated A-Rod. You're thinking Stacy, right?
Yeah, that's
Stacy was Clooney. Yeah. So, yeah, she dated A-Rod, and she was not a good wrestler.
No,
but
no.
She was a big part of... She was important during the Ruthless Aggression era. She was a main face on the TV. The problem is, and I don't have a problem with Tori Wilson going in. I like when I watched the Evolution pay-per-view, I watched it with a lot of casual people. They were like, oh, is Tori Wilson in this? Is Tori Wilson? And that's just because a lot of the guys think she's hot, though. And that was her main contributing to that. That was during the bra and panties matches and everything. Now that you go back and now and you're like, oh, I can't believe these were a thing. And now we're in this age where we have Sasha and Becky and Kairi Sane and Shiri and Asuka and so much good talent. Even the girls that are super sexy, like a Mandy Rose, are actually good workers. That you look at more of a Trish as a pioneer to that than you look at a Tori Wilson or a Stacy Keibler or a Candice Michelle.
You know, we know what the WWE Hall of Fame is.
We know.
And it's there, and I will be watching Okada and Tanahashi that night, maybe wrestling each other. I'm perfectly content. You know, going to the Hall of Fame, you get recognized for your contributions to WWE, because that's really and truly what this is about. It's what you've done for WWE, and if Vince likes you or not. And I think you get a Legends deal out of this.
You get, so according to Honky Tonk, is you have to sign a 90-day no-compete clause, first of all, So the first time he turned this down, Honky Tonk, is because he had a Wizard World convention he was going to go to that had a bigger payday, so he turned it down to do that. And then they do try to get you to sign a Legends deal, what Honky Tonk has always said he has no interest in signing.
I mean...
Because then they try to make the toys, and then you get the video games and all that.
For some of these guys, that's a good steady little paycheck that you can get. So mm-hmm. it's not a bad thing, so...
Can we get New Jack to introduce him? Because I know him and New Jack do a lot of shoot videos together.
Oh, boy. You're not far from the birth of ECW, so...
What do you think about Torrey Wilson going in?
It's a thing. I've never taken the Hall of Fame induction seriously. It's never like, oh, this is a prestigious Hall of Fame. This is Vince's wonder palace of people that he's forgiven or get along with. It is what it is.
It I guess it's disappointing when you look at other women that you prefer in there, right? Like Molly Holly. What is the deal with Victoria? Is there something up there?
I think so, but nothing's ever been confirmed. Maybe Meltzer has confirmed something. Maybe Mike Johnson has.
Maybe
but...
we're missing something. Like, I know Gail Kim will never go in, obviously.
No.
But Victoria is the one that everyone's like, why is Victoria not in? Like, Victoria was good. Like, I'm assuming Jazz will never go in. And it's weird, like, some people said, like, well, people were happy with Sunny. But, and maybe I'm hypocritical in there, Sunny did a lot in that era. Sunny meant a lot. She was, and Sunny was also, Sunny isn't just as, like, the original pinup of the WWE. Sunny was a good manager.
Yeah.
That's why Sunny was supported, because she was a tremendous manager. I can't tell you what Torrey really did. Like, the most famous segment I can think about Torrey, at least in WWE, is the segment when she flirted with Vince and Vince had his pants down and Linda caught him.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then what else did Torrey really – I get, and then there's the Al Wilson stuff, which we all want to forget about.
Yeah.
And then what else did she do?
I don't have much to add on this.
Was she ever women's champion? I'm going to look it up right now. Do you think she ever was a women's champion?
I think so.
I know she had like a dog.
That's right. She had a dog.
Yeah. Let's see here. If she was ever a champion. Kevin Nash, I think, has found her in a bar. That's how they, because her brother was a wrestling fan. No, Joel, she did win a WWE award, though.
Slammy?
She won the Golden Thon Award. And she also won the WrestleCrap Gobbledygooker Award for Al Wilson feud with Dawn Marie. So she has never been a women's champion, ever. So, yeah. Personally, I mean, like you said, it is what it is. We don't take this Hall of Fame too seriously, but all respect to Torrey. She's a fan favorite. She was a good sports entertainer, but she isn't someone I consider like an all-time Hall of Famer. When you have girls like Molly Holly who were trying their best for the Make Women's Wrestling Matter or Victoria that are not in the Hall of Fame right now.
It just speaks to the value of the Hall of Fame.
And is Wendy Richter in?
I don't know. I'm actually looking it up right now.
Also, like, if you're going to put someone that's female that matters, Put Cyndi Lauper in this year then. Cyndi Lauper means more than Torrey Wilson does. She was part of one of the major parts of the rock and roll era for the WWE, the rock and wrestling era.
Yeah, that's the name that I always see popping up, but they never seem to do it.
Yeah, so I don't know. Who would you have inductory? Stacy?
I have no clue. You're asking the wrong
Billy lesson. Kidman! He works for them still. He can put his ex-wife in.
Oh. Yep. I think it's time to move along.
Also, just the name rumored next week is Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Hopefully he doesn't have any
We know who's introducted him, brother! That is honestly the only reason he's going in, is to have Hogan there.
Yeah.
That's the only reason, is to introduce him. So, yeah, I don't know who's doing DX. I guess it would be Vince. Can you think of anyone else that would introduce DX? Kevin Nash, maybe?
Maybe. I have no clue.
Tori, I have no idea. Honky Tonk, I say Lawler, but I don't know if they get along or not. Maybe Jimmy Hart, but I think he's going in with the Hart Foundation. So, yeah, this Hall of Fame class, go to Japan.
Yeah.
Go to Japan. And the last set of news, Michael Che and Colin Jost were on Raw this week, and it actually wasn't, like, super terrible. I think because Michael Che is a wrestling fan, and whenever someone's a wrestling fan, it always ends up working most of the time. But I think they're going to have a match at WrestleMania with Braun Strowman, so that should be enjoyable for everybody.
Nicholas is making his comeback. That's all we want to see.
All right. Are you ready to talk about Fastlane?
Sure. Let's get on that Fastlane to Mania.
So 8 matches, including the pre-show. The first match in the pre-show, which I wish this wasn't in the pre-show, and I wish we could just leave it alone for like 5 more weeks, is Andrade and Rey.
Rey's getting the win here.
And then you think Andrade wins at Mania and unmasks him?
No unmasking, but I do think that's the direction they go, or this could be the end of the feud. This could be the blow-off match, Josh.
And then we'll get the rumor tag match, team together?
Yep, time to throw them in TLC too.
Then we have the SmackDown tag titles, the Usos versus Miz and Shane with Miz's father in the crowd, and it's in Cleveland.
So Miz is definitely losing.
He's definitely losing.
But he has the best wrestler in the world as his tag team partner, Josh. Mm-hmm. This man, do you know some of the stories about Shane McMahon? That he once wrestled an 80-minute draw that the whole crowd collectively collapsed at just how amazing it was?
Oh, I remember that one, right? It was against Doink.
Yeah. Shane McMahon, Shane's going to jump off something. Well, no, Shane's not going to jump off anything, because he's got to save that for when he jumps off the Jumbotron at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I'll get to see him scrape Shane McMahon off the mat.
I think we're both picking the Usos in this.
Yeah. That makes the most sense, and because then I figure we're going to get a multi-tag team match at Mania. Hopefully it's TLC. Not for Shane's sake, though, because I don't want Shane to die.
The women's tag match, Boston Hug versus Sasha. The Boston Hug with Sasha and Bayley against Nia and Tamina. I got Sasha and Bayley. They actually kind of did the right thing with the heat, although they did it like the opposite way. You wouldn't have thought Nia would have got beat by Bayley and Tamina beating Sasha. That's kind of weird. But, I mean, it's good to make Tamina look kind of strong for once. But I think it's the Boston Hug here.
I think they're going to continue on with Sasha cannot retain. She's never retained.
You actually do have Nia and Tamina?
Yep.
Okay. My only thing with that is I just think with what the match at WrestleMania is, I don't see Nia and Tamina defending those titles at WrestleMania. But I think your idea of them not defending is possible. I just said, then are we going to do Bayley and Sasha at Mania then?
Might as well throw everything to the wall at this point.
The women's title match, Asuka and Mandy. Asuka had a little bit of a nasty bump on a house show last night, but she's okay. Mandy has been improving, and this is the biggest match of her career.
And she's going to lose it.
Yeah, she's going to lose, but this is the big match for her to see where... You don't want to know something, by the way? She faced Naomi tonight on SmackDown, and I had totally forgot that was a feud. Until the end. Like, because I also had like the volume off because I was watching a game at the same time. And then I put them out, and they was like, redemption for Mandy in her lawn suit with Naomi. I'm like, all right, that was a thing. Okay.
How quickly WWE and us fans forget things.
But yeah, I agree with you. I have Oscar winning that. The Shield against Corbin, McIntyre, and Lashley.
You said that wrong. Josh, it's the Shield defeats Corbin, Lashley.
Team Fist.
Yeah.
Team Fisting.
There's no
way. The Fisters.
No way. The
Fisting. Fist.
There's no way they're losing. Especially if they're promoting this as the last time they're ever going to work together. McIntyre's going to get pinned in the middle of the ring, and then whatever is going to happen next is going to happen next. Unless Dean turns on them.
Yeah, that's the only other way.
But they've done such... they've worked so hard to turn a babyface. Why in God... That's what's going to happen.
Have they worked hard to turn a babyface?
Well, they put in some effort. They put in some effort.
Yeah. He broods in the corner. It's like, oh my gosh, such hard decisions. A match that really could steal the night, though. The Revival against Aleister Black and Ricochet and Chad Gable and Bobby Roode.
Can Chad Gable and Ricochet just get in the ring for 10 minutes?
That'd be phenomenal. This match is going to be really good. This is probably the match I'm the most excited for.
So it's only going to be 5 minutes.
Probably. I have the Revival retaining.
I do as well.
Then what's going to be the main event?
The women.
Okay, so Brian and KO.
Brian will retain here, and then KO will go back to the mid-card.
Unless the New Day interferes, and this becomes a triple threat.
I think they're probably going to be at ringside in some way, but I don't think that they're going to screw KO over.
Yeah. What do you think about him using the stunner as his new move? It kind of seems pop-up powerbomb days are done.
It's probably better for his body. That he doesn't do the pop-up powerbomb is probably better for his opponents.
Do you think that's why he went to the stunner?
And, I mean, it's been 16 years since Austin retired. That's 16 years.
So, Austin gave him permission, too.
Yeah, so everything's good in my books. That means I get to see a stunner at Mania, potentially. Ooh,
there you go. It's weird, like, it's the most famous finisher of all time. I'm trying to think of moves that are really famous that have been duplicated. And then someone just makes it to their own. Like, I remember, like, Disco Inferno kind of did a stunner. And obviously, he's an idiot. Just leave it at that. But he did a stunner in WCW. But everyone's like, you're copying Austin. The pedigree when Seth did it, it never really worked. No one's really tried a rock bottom. No one's really tried a mandible claw. It's funny, there's some moves that just stay. Now everyone does a freaking super kick.
Yeah, well, super kick's a transition move now.
Yeah, and then obviously everyone does a crossface. Everyone does a sharpshooter or some type of form of the figure four in some way.
Yes, it's fascinating how moves become less protected and just kind of used.
And the DDT is mostly a transition move unless it's like really hit.
Yeah.
I never asked you this before we get to the match. What's your favorite DDT of all time?
I think it's probably Jake's or Randy's.
Yeah, mine is Raven's. I love the even flow. But Jake's is obviously the original we know of.
Randy's, the drape over DDT.
Yeah.
That stands out to me.
And then the final match, Becky and Charlotte.
It's no contest.
You think it'll be a no contest?
Yeah, and I think that it's going to be Ronda, and then it's going to lead to a kerfuffle, and then Stephanie.
Actually makes the most sense, because then Charlotte just looks like a complete idiot.
And then somehow, some way, Stephanie's going to get out and cut a 20-minute promo, and all the other talented women are going to stand there and be like, oh, what are you doing to our program? Stop it. Stop it.
I'm wondering in this, too, if maybe they do something where Becky isn't medically able to compete or something.
You tell me this stuff, and I think there's no way they do. Oh, they would absolutely do this.
Yeah, I don't know. It looks like an okay. It looks like a card that happens before WrestleMania.
Yep,
it's exactly fine. The kind of card it is. We're all in the car. Like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? We have to have one stop before we get there. Do we have to? Let's just go. We're almost there. I just want to get there. No, just one more stop. It's like, oh, man.
In a month's time, this time, I will be in the Barclays Arena. Yeah. Barclays Center, whatever the hell it's called. I will be sitting, probably watching one of the shows of the week. And then the next day, I will
go to the Hall of Fame and see Tori Wilson?
No, I'm going to
Madison. And Brutus and Barber Beefcake and Honky Tonk Man?
I'm going to MSG. And then Sunday, maybe. Like, this, we're a month away. That's all I'm focused on. I am so meh. I want to see the cards. I want to know when I'm on that airplane heading to New York and when we land in Newark and then are heading down to where we're staying. I want to know what shows I'm going to see. I want to get to the hotel and sit there and think, I'm going to see some great moments. I'm going to get to see some great wrestling. It's great. I'm over Fastlane already. I'm ready for it to be done. Let's get on and let's get the show on the road.
Absolutely. By the way, really quick thought here, because we haven't had our celebrity announced for the Hall of Fame, and I know who it's going to be.
Who?
It's New York. I think it's going to be Jon Stewart.
No, that's not terrible. Can he have the desk and give us a Daily Show-esque speech?
That'd be great.
might need it.
Is there anyone that could do the Hall of Fame at this point that you'd be like, I'm excited for that person? Like, this obviously, there's not going to be a Taker. There's not going to be a Rock at this point. Oddly, Hunter's going in, which is honestly the biggest name. But he's going on under a weird branch. Is there any like mid-carder or whatever that you could be like, oh, I'm actually kind of excited to see them, that like would kind of be on your bucket list that you wouldn't think of?
Well, I'm a little disappointed because I've seen they've already inducted Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's what a thrill that would have been. I mean, Obama showed up at a tribute to the troops. Why not?
I don't know. Like going through this, they've a lot of the names that should be in it, a good chunk of the names that should be in it aren't in it.
I mean, I guess you'll see Brett if this Hart Foundation thing is true. And Jimmy Hart would be kind of cool. I don't think there's really anyone left from the Attitude Era that really makes any sense. Like, all respects to Scotty Too Hotty.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think if there's anyone from like Attitude Era or like the Ruthless Aggression Era that would make any sense at this point. Because like, I mean, I'm not going to say never, but I get Tori to a degree, but I can't imagine like a Carlito or like a Chris Masters would go in.
No.
So I don't know. I mean, maybe they put in another woman this year. Who knows? But I mean, we still haven't got our African-American superstar yet because they like to do that. There's a pattern they have, right? They have to have one woman, one African-American superstar, or a minority. Could be just a minority overall. And then we have to have one dead person. And that's apparently going to be Bam Bam.
I got nothing.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. This Hall of Fame class is the most interesting Hall of Fame class ever to me. I'm very interested in it just because it's just like, wow, this is what you're putting up against Japan. Good job, guys.
I think I made the right choice. You asked me, you said, would I regret going to
MSG? Yeah, I said if they had Rock or Taker.
I don't think either of them are going to be involved.
No, I think Undertaker may not be involved with that company. I think that's a developing story right now for us that we're keeping an eye on. He had his gong go off during Something to Wrestle. I don't know what's up with Mark Calloway.
Time to move on, most loyal soldier.
So, yeah, we have Fastlane this week. We have the New Japan Cup going on right now. We have this WOW announcement going on. NXT should be good. And, yeah, lots of exciting things going on. And BTE had a new intro, Joel, and there's a few Easter eggs in there.
You can blink and you miss it. But we've got two guys that could be potential future members of All Elite Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I think that kind of indicates that I think they're both going to be a part of All Elite Wrestling at some point.
With Marty like almost hitting the coaster and then with the book flip.
Yeah,
I think so. It took me, I actually, the first time around, did not notice Marty. I noticed him the second time.
I noticed him the first time.
So, and hey, shout out to SCU getting into the intro, finally.
Yeah, it's about time.
Yeah. All right, well, congratulations to Samoa Joe. That was the highlight of the week. Really happy for that, dude. Someone I've and Joel have been rooting for a long time. So I'm glad he finally has at least a singles title on the main event. And the idea of getting him and Cena, that is probably one of the top matches I would be the most excited for Mania, because I've wanted Joe and Cena for quite some time.
Yes, yes.
No major indication yet, but I'm excited for that. And as far as this week, my main things are, I'm very interested in Mandy and Asuka, and then that tag match. What about you?
I'm ready for it to be April. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, you're just ready to get the Mania build started.
Yes, I'm ready to see what I'm going to see.
All right. Well, everyone, thank you for listening, and until next time, cheers.
Anyone can get a contract with AEW now. It'll just sign anyone.
Michael Kawasaki. Come on. Enjoy the big people.
Goodbye. And good night. Bang.